We're good. We're off. We're off and running.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Sports Bible. I'm Michael.
Jackson. Episode 1 kicked off. Just a bit of an introduction between two of us. So here we are, episode 2.
Yes, sir.
Starting, we start the week off pretty well. Varsity cross country, first race on Saturday. Girls finished 3rd overall. Men finished overall 8th. Nice. We'll give a recognition to Faith Neeson, who finished 4th overall for the girls. And for the top runner for the boys was myself, Jackson, finishing 16th.
Yes, sir.
Fanshawe was a good course, nice and flat, which I liked. Women ran 6, the men ran 8. Top time for the women's, I think, was 24 something. Top time for the men's was 25 something. So the pacing was quick. It was hot. Did not want to be out there. We ran at 2. Girls went at 12. We were midday, and overall that was good experience. Rookies, we have a rookie team, so just getting the feel of AK was nice. But yeah, it was good. It was a good first race. We look forward to running in 2 weeks at Centennial on the 16th, and then getting ready for provincials.
Nice. Yeah. You know, with the first race so early on, I feel like it was good to get that under your feet. How do you feel like you did? Are you happy? Are you sad? How do you feel like you did?
My goal though, we had a bit of a predictions, me and my roommates, to see where we would end up. I pegged myself not below 31, which, and then when I saw the clock, I was 30-50. I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm only a minute behind. Guy finished 10th, so if I can just break down a minute for the next race and hopefully get in there, because Nationals is top 25 individual. So right now, if I can just keep the top 25 each race, I'm heading to Calgary in November, which hopefully I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's crazy. Especially for your first year too. That's a big achievement, bro.
Achievement. Yeah. Yes, that is. It was painful though. I 5K in my my calf was done. My left calf was completely destroyed.
Did you like cramp up?
No, I've been going to physio a couple of weeks, and at first I thought it was shin splints, but it's not shin splints. They diagnosed me with compartment syndrome, which is where this muscle, or this, I forget what it's called, but it starts with an F, and it, if you get hit in the shin or the calf, your like calf would, I guess, swell. But for me, this thing is keeping it from not swelling. So it's swelling, but it's not like expanding, so the blood can flow through it. Which has caused my calves to be tight. She says I have like high blood pressure in my calves. And right now we're just trying to get on top of it. Elevating my feet before and after the race, just so the blood flow can go through it. But later in the years, I might be looking at surgery, but we'll see what happens.
Wow. No, it's still good how you were able to compete with something like that as well. Cause I know that can kind of set you back, and it's definitely something serious for what it sounds like. So
yeah, I was so close. Nah, bro, like, I can't do this. Like, I want to walk. Then I realized, I was like, I can't, like, I was voted captain of the boys. So like, I can't let the team down. I told him before the race, like, don't walk. If you, no matter what you do, don't walk. And I can't turn around and be a hypocrite and walk myself. So I was a K and a half out or a kilometer away from the finish, and the guy behind me, I was gesturing to my teammates, my coaches, and my calf's gone. The guy behind me, I was telling his coach, he's like, "Yo, this guy like injured his hamstring." I'm like, "Hamstring? some my hamstring." So near the end, like he's in front of me, he passed me, and I'm like a couple steps behind, and I'm on his tail, and my coach is yelling. I'm like, "Bro, my calf, I can't. He's yelling at me, he's like, pass him. And I was like, "You know what, yo, this guy wants to, you know, talk with me, you know, and pointing me out that I'm injured." I said, no, not on my watch.
No.
I ended up, you know, just sprinting past him, looked behind me, and he stopped. So I was like, you know what, like, I pushed through, but right when I hit the finish line, I was down. I ripped my spikes off, grabbed ice, poured water on me, and I was done. It was hot. I felt like I was gonna pass out.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's a sport where people underestimate, and they think, you know, oh, you know, I can run. And once you actually go out there and you compete at a competitive race and actually realize how smart you got to run and to pace yourself, it's difficult. It's definitely
for sure. Sure. Cross country is definitely something I think people take for granted, because it's much harder than it looks and it's much harder than it sounds. So, and I feel like you really had the full experience all in that one race, and it's your first one, right? So.
Yeah, I was not used to 8K. High school, I just ran 6K
mm-hmm.
all the time. So to adjust for 2 extra kilometers, it was difficult. I saw the 6K mark and I was like, oh my God, I have 2 kilometers left to go. So I was just trying to get in my zone, try to zone myself out with the pain in my calves and the heat. But we finished, and just things that I can take away that I can learn for the next race. And hopefully the boys, Jab Jot, Francesco, Michael, they can adjust to their performance, and hopefully we have a chance to compete at provincials and qualify for nationals as a team.
Yeah, man. Sounds like the team's on the right track. So
yes. Yeah. We're all in that mind zone where we have to always improve every race. So, which is good, which I like to see there. The mm-hmm. girls team though, they're in safe hand. They got, I'd say, solid four solid runners.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily crack the top 25. So the girls team is looking good.
I remember from first year and second year, actually, they're always pretty strong. They're always a pretty strong team. So it's good they're continuing, you know, the tradition of Laurier Branford staying strong.
Yes, that is. You know, we're it's great to be a goal, Laurier goal now. So,
mm-hmm.
it's a team where it's a community and we're a family and we're always working together and pushing each other. So, and we've got great coaches and great staff around us. So, it's definitely a program that's going to stick around for a while. I feel like at Branford,
definitely, yeah, it's growing the right way. And I'm happy to see it. I wanted to transition over to your thoughts for the upcoming NBA season.
Okay.
There was a couple of pregames. I think yesterday Brooklyn was playing the Lakers. I know none of like the stars were playing. Like KD wasn't playing, James Harden wasn't playing. But what are your thoughts on the season?
Season? Well, you already know. My Lakers, we just acquired Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
we acquired Melo, we acquired Malik Monk, we acquired Wayne Ellington, we brought back Dwight, we brought back Rondo. It's a team that I feel like can easily qualify for or contend, definitely a contender, 100%.
100%.
if you stay healthy, if AD stays healthy and he doesn't have glass ankles like he did last year, LeBron can stay healthy and Westbrook can consistently hit shots. I'm looking at the Lakers versus I'm gonna go Bucks again. I'm gonna say the Bucks. Lakers Bucks is my finals prediction.
Wow. To be honest, the Lakers, I completely agree. You guys revamped the roster the right way. I think I am a little worried about the spacing. Westbrook is not a good shooter. I don't expect him to become a better shooter. So I don't know. I don't know about that. But I think the IQ of him, LeBron and AD and Rondo, like they can make it work to where it shouldn't matter too much. And as long as AD's healthy, those ankles, you know, hopefully he's not made of glass this season. As long as you're healthy, you always have a strong chance. But on the East, if the Nets are healthy, I don't think the Bucks stand a chance, like, at all. I don't think they stand a chance at all.
I'm about to disagree with this one because I'm gonna take it back to last year, mm-hmm. Eastern Conference Final, Bucks, Nets series, Game 7. What's Game 7? You're telling me your team? They were healthy. They had Kyrie. They had Harden. Well, okay, Harden was out. He was out, right? I'm pretty sure he was out the whole.
Well, Kyrie was out, and Harden was playing on one leg.
I'm still sticking with the Bucks. I think Drew. It was just times where, if Holiday and Milton can really be consistent and click, because once they clicked, every time they went off, they mm-hmm. won the game. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if Giannis was having a poor game. Middleton and Drew clicked. It was game over. So I just feel like the Bucks, they didn't lose anyone. They didn't really bring anyone in. But they have players. I think they have depth against the Nets. Giannis and KD can equally go tit for tat. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the Nets have more prolific shooters and Harden, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I just think they're gonna clash. I think all those three are gonna clash, and it ain't gonna work out. I think the Bucks, Giannis has got the chip. He's got that motivation now. He's got that. He knows how to win. And I feel like he's just going to turn it on. And then the Lakers are just, there's no match in the West. The closest.
There's no match at all.
I don't think so. I don't see anyone really competing with the Lakers besides maybe a healthy Golden State, a healthy Denver. That's all I see. I don't think the Clippers are going to be much of a threat.
Yeah, I don't think Kawhi's playing this season. I think he's out with an ACL injury. So with Kawhi out, the Clippers are automatically they won't be able to compete to make the finals. Golden State, I agree. If Klay comes back the same, I'm a little worried about his defense just because he was their strongest, other than Draymond, he was their strongest wing defender. And with that type of injury, it's hard to come back. But I mean, KD did it. So, and KD's a 7-footer, you know, and for taller people to come back from Achilles injuries, it's much harder. So I think Klay can do it. Denver, I agree as well. If Jamal Murray comes back the same way he did in the bubble, they have a puncher's chance against anyone. What do you think of Phoenix? Do you think it was just a one-hit wonder, one-season wonder type of thing?
That's tough, Phoenix. Booker showed me that he can be a superstar in this league, in the playoffs. CP proved that any team he goes to, he improves. So I don't – Phoenix – Definitely, I'd say a top five team in this upcoming season in the West. They got like a lot of average players around them, which is good. I don't see any flaws in their team. Ayton improved tremendously in the offense and the defense. Jay Crowder is one of those hidden gems in your team that you need. He proved it. Cameron Payne went off.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely a great backup point guard to CP. Cameron Johnson is a nice young core in that team. Mikal Bridges can ball. They showed that they have potential. So I'll take him in the top five, as I said, in the West. But I don't think it was fluke. We know what CP can do when he went to OKC. They had like a 3% chance of making the playoffs. He took him to the first round, lost, but it's okay. Him and Shai were a great piece, and him re-signing with Phoenix and is definitely gonna help Booker improve his game. But that's a backcourt. That's a big three in the West is Ayton, Booker, and CP. I got him top five.
Because I agree. I thought, you know, after what they did in the bubble when they went 8-0, I didn't expect much of them last season. But the CP3 effect it's real. And from what he did to OKC and what he did with the Suns, it's pretty unbelievable what he was able to do. I wanted to ask you if you have a sleeper team in the West and the East. I think mine for the West is the Pelicans.
New Orleans?
Yeah, man.
Whoa, mine.
I think it was between Utah, because Utah's not really a sleeper. You know what I mean?
No.
They're not
a sleeper team. Very underrated.
Very underrated. But I think no one takes them seriously in the playoffs because they haven't shown it in the playoffs, right? Portland. You know, there's a whole Dame situation going on. We don't know if he's going to stay, if he's going to leave. Their team isn't really constructed to last long in the playoffs, in my opinion. But who you got as a sleeper?
For the West, I have I think Memphis showed what they're capable of doing, especially when they knocked off Golden State and the play-in tournament. But Sacramento, I think the Kings.
What?
With Fox. Fox showed that he's can play the All-Star caliber last year. Halliburton is a great rookie. Yeah. If they can keep Buddy Hield and they can really develop Marvin Bagley, then that team has something. Rashad Holmes is, in my opinion, an underrated center for the Kings. He was a top pick in the draft a couple years ago, and he needs to show what he did in college in the NBA, because in college he tore it up.
Yeah.
He came to the NBA and the lights and the pressure got to him. Because the Kings have a young core, and I just feel like if they can really break out and everyone shows what they're capable of doing, they could be a playoff team.
Yeah, I think what Memphis is right now is what the Kings should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have the young guards with Ja and Fox, and then you have your bigs with Jaren Jackson Jr. and they have Clark.
Brandon Clark is
yeah, crazy. Yeah. They got Dylan Brooks on the wing. They've got a good, I think now they just added Steven Adams as well with that trade for JV. So yeah, Memphis's core is solid. It's tight. They have a superstar potential point guard in Ja. But the Kings, I just feel like the play style just doesn't work. I don't know why it hasn't come together yet, because they've had good players for a while. It just hasn't come together yet. So I don't trust them though. I do not trust them at all. That's why I had to mention the Pelicans, because I think Brandon Ingram, Zion, we know what they can do. Zion had a great season last season, and I don't think he gets talked about enough. What do you think Zion's trajectory is for this year?
If I'm being completely honest, when Zion first came in the league, in that draft class, I had RJ being the best out of that class.
Really?
Him or Ja. My personal opinion, I thought Ja would have been the first overall pick. Because it showed in the Zion showed in his first year, like his size is leading to injury. I just feel like he's too big. He plays a bit reckless sometimes, but so does Ja. Ja at the time, there's some points where he's doing too much. He's definitely going to get injured. But I think Zion was I think he was voted 21st, so 23rd best in the NBA. So he was a top 25 player. Did I think he deserved top 25? No, I don't. Didn't lead the team to the playoff. He's definitely that star of the franchise, and if you're gonna be star of the franchise, you gotta be able to take teams to the playoff. I don't think they even made it to the play-in tournament.
No.
And then with them losing Lonzo, who was a great foundation to Zion, definitely the 1-2 punch. It was a good decision to fire Alvin Gentry. I don't think he fit Zion's play style. I don't think he was the right coach for Zion. The Pelicans, though, I don't see them doing any better than last season. Yeah, they brought in Devonte Graham and they brought in Valanciunas and they kept Ingram and they kept Zion, but Graham ain't Alonzo, first of all. JV is definitely an upgrade from Adams.
Yep.
Because he's a consistent 20-20 player. Sometimes he's a consistent double-double player, which is good. That's what they need. They need someone in the post besides Zion getting buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Ingram showed glimpse of superstar potential his first season with New Orleans. Didn't really do much last season. I don't see New Orleans being the sleeper team in the West. I'm still sticking with Sacramento and Memphis. If the Kings can just fix their coaching staff and fire Luke Walton, he's not the right coach for that team. Bring in someone who has way more experience, because he's still young. Walton is the young coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, he just doesn't fit right with Fox. Fox just needs a coach where it goes through him and the ball goes through him. And it's I just feel like if it's if they can do a pick and roll offense,
mm-hmm.
I think that suits Fox, because he's got the speed. He can play defense.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs, and if they just add another star with Fox and this, not a star as a guard, but another star in the forward position,
mm-hmm.
just and give Fox a big man. And I think that Sacramento team can do some damage in the West.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with the Luke Walton that he needs to go. He's not bettering that franchise. I think They need a coach who understands the importance of guard play, maybe like a Mark Jackson, because since he's had that experience.
100%, yes.
Know, Golden State, maybe I was going to say Jason Kidd, but Jason Kidd's actually at Dallas. So yeah, but I think a Mark Jackson could really help that team.
100%. You saw what he did with Curry when Curry got in the league.
Exactly.
I'm not saying Fox is a Curry. I'm not saying that. But definitely a coach that fits Fox's play style. We're definitely project him in the conversation of a superstar in this league.
Yeah, for sure. He has all the
intent. For the East, is it fair to say Chicago?
As a sleeper team? Absolutely.
As a sleeper?
Absolutely.
What they picked up in the offseason with Lonzo and DeRozan and Caruso, and they kept LaVine and they kept Vucevic. I just think this team really has, and they have Billy Donovan, a good coach who can coach coach KD, he coached Russell. He has that experience in college. He knows what he's doing. This team really, I can see this team finish, can even fight for a top five finish in the East.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to – I'm not sure if Orlando made the playoffs last year, but
don't think so. Okay. Actually, they might have, I think.
For the play-in, I think so. I think they're going to bump Orlando out anyways. I think they, like you said, they can be a top five, top four team. If it all comes together, they have the bigs. They have a solid big Vucevic. They have the wings now. They have a solid point guard in Lonzo. LaVine, DeRozan, that's a scary 1-2 punch. They have that UCLA connection. There's a lot of good things going on over there. A lot of good things. So that will be nice to see. I think Atlanta, for what Atlanta did last year, was exactly what they needed to start taking them seriously. You have that superstar point guard in Trae Young. You have Gallinari, you have Hunter, you have Herter, you have Clint Capella, you have Collins. And it's a very young core, but them going to the conference finals, I think that was that was the best thing that they could do for them. And the fact that they lost two, they needed to lose before they learned how to win. You know what I mean?
Yes. That team is fun to watch. That is a team where I can turn on the TV. I love watching Trey. Capella is everywhere on the court, getting boards, putback jams, rebounds, blocks. Cam Reddish is a young player who I saw a glimpse of potential in him in the playoffs. But Bogdanović was a great pickup. Stolen from Milwaukee. definitely a great piece there. Kevin Herter is a great shooter. He's the next Kyle Korver, I can say. With chest, I could firmly say he's the next Kyle Korver. But that team is – and even John Collins, him deciding to stay in Atlanta for another 4 years is definitely what Trey needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have that 1-2 punch with him and Collins. They can also kick it out to Herter, who's a reliable shooter. They can dish it to Reddish, who can drive. They can dish it to Capella in the paint if they need to. This team, a team has potential. Definitely could even fight for a top two. I just, if they can really get clicking here, and obviously they your top two teams in the East are your Milwaukee's and your Nets, but I could definitely Atlanta can sneak in there if they really tried, but third, I think they're definitely top three team in the East, 100%.
I think, yeah, it's because I don't think Philly, as we've learned, we know that Philly is not as good as everybody thinks. So, I think, yeah, since Brooklyn and Milwaukee might coast through the regular season, especially Brooklyn because they want to protect their players and all that, Atlanta could definitely do some damage if they lock in. And there's one more team I wanted to mention, the Hornets with LaMelo.
Don't even get me started on this guy.
What? You don't like LaMelo?
I don't no, I don't. This is what I don't get with. When they handed out the awards for the Rookie of the Year, a clear cut was Edwards. I get that the numbers don't say and like blah blah blah. Edwards was healthy throughout the whole season. Melo missed games. They still give it to Melo. Here's what I don't get. If you're gonna give Melo the Rookie of the Year, and he had better and he has similar numbers to Edwards, why aren't you giving Embiid the MVP? He had better numbers than Jokic. He had better defensive stats than Jokic. He led the Philly to the top team in the East, led him to the conference semis, but yet they gave it to Jokic because Embiid wasn't healthy. That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get. Melo missed games and they still gave it to him. Embiid missed games, had better defensive stats, had better offensive stats besides the assists, and led his team in a tough Eastern Division conference this year with Milwaukee and Brooklyn. That's what I don't get.
It makes sense. The argument makes sense. I think from the beginning of the season, I believe until Melo got injured, he was playing better than Anthony Edwards, right?
Yes,
And
Edwards started off slow. Started off slow.
yeah, I think it was after All-Star break that's when Edwards really popped off.
Yeah.
And then when LaMelo was out for that stretch, obviously Edwards was popping off. And then when LaMelo came back, I feel like the numbers were pretty similar. So that was the argument. Well, when he came back, it's not like Edwards was like miles ahead of him type of thing. He was more or less like they were more or less doing the same thing. So then they just gave it to LaMelo because of the whole longevity of the season. But you're right. If you're gonna do that and then you compare to Jokic and Embiid, then you kind of this is where the NBA and storylines kind of they kind of take over the actual argument of who should win.
It was just mind blowing. It was just like I go through the comments of House Highlights and it says, like Ant got robbed, Ant got robbed. And there's a part of me where like I wanted to agree. And there's a part of me where it's like Melo had better numbers, but if I'm going back to the whole argument of staying healthy, like Edwards told you the whole season. Yeah, I get he didn't really show up until halfway throughout the season, but then he can consistently kept that playthrough even when Melo came back. When Embiid came back, I think it took him about a week to get back in his flow, but then he went off the typical 34 and 10 games and a couple blocks and shooting well, and it was to me. The Hornets, if we're gonna answer your question about the Hornets, and I think they need more pieces. If they would have, because Hayward, they signed Hayward, he flopped out. He didn't really play up to his contract this year. Melo obviously is gonna play like Melo. The hype was there. You showed people why it's there. Miles Bridges played, stepped up this year, which was a
Amazing.
shock. Zeller needs to go. They need to let go of Zeller. he's been there like his whole career. He's done nothing. Rebuild that center position. And then you can come back to me and talk about the Hornets. Get a center and figure out the depth, and then the Hornets can be a contention. But for right now, without Kemba, they ain't nothing.
Nah, I think, like you said, you know, with Melo and Rozier, those are your guards right there. We know Rozier's reliable. And then you have your forwards. You got Miles Bridges and you got PJ Washington. I think they're young. They're ready to play. They're athletic. Last season really helped them out since Hayward was injured. But when you do add in Gordon Hayward, it does give you that. It does give you that benefit more. I think it's more of a benefit than a detriment. I know he's not the same as he was in Utah. He does keep getting injured, so it looks like he can't, you know, keep up, and he's not the same. But we really need to see a season from him where he's healthy. If he's healthy the whole season, then I think they can squeeze in a playoff spot, an eight seed battle. The center position, yeah. Because I think, who do they have? Zeller and Biyombo?
Yeah, they got the finesse genius, Bismack Biyombo. $72 million for like 4 years after a great postseason, one great postseason run.
I know.
For Toronto.
He secured the bag.
And he goes in there and he finesses the Hornets franchise.
Yeah.
They need to fix that. They need to fix. The coach is good. I like the coach is young. He knows how to run with Melo.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, I don't know. On paper, you can. I just don't see him being a playoff team yet. I just don't have those pieces.
There's some deficiencies there. If we talk about that, we should talk about New York as well. What do you think of the Knicks?
New York's a playoff team. New York is a playoff team. They just added Kemba. Mm-hmm. Perfect addition. Perfect. They needed a point guard. I know they have Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose coming off as a sixth man, he's good. Perfect. He's reliable.
Mm-hmm.
They have RJ, who really needs to step up because he's heading into like his third season, I think. And he's shown nothing.
This will be his year. This will be his year.
He's shown nothing in 2 years. He needs RJ's team. Now he's going to franchise. No, Randall came in and took that.
He did.
But the Knicks are definitely a top six team. Top six.
Top six.
I want that Atlanta, New York playoff run again. I want Trey to go back to Madison Square Garden. And I want the Knicks to shut him up.
That was the rivalry we all needed. That was.
Yes, that is that's a new rivalry, Atlanta, New York. That's what I want in the playoffs. I want seven games of this. I don't want no winning in five. I want game seven in New York. Trae Young versus New York Knicks. Trae versus Kemba. That's what I want. But the Knicks, 100% playoff team, 100%.
What are
they're finally getting their manager right, and they're finally building the team. Because once they lost Melo, that was it. They shambled, following the shambles after that. Now the Knicks are finally getting on the feet, which I'm happy for.
It's good. It's good for the NBA, definitely, for sure.
100%. That is, like, you talk about Dallas being NFL's team. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are our NBA's team. 100%.
What are your thoughts on Boston?
Don't even start on Boston. As a Lakers fan, I can't.
Okay.
I can't really root for the green and white, but I can't sit here and not deny the fact that they have a team and they have a star in Tatum and they have upcoming stars, like Jaylen Brown, They lost Kemba, which wasn't really a, I'd say like a significant loss. He didn't really
it was for much. The better. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. I don't know. They just need, I feel like if they get a solid point guard in there to run that team, and you know, it's Tatum's team and someone who can facilitate and pass the ball, then
yeah, they picked up Schroeder.
Yeah, 1 year for like, for, how much was it? 1 year, like 7 mil?
Yeah, 7 mil.
When he could have got like 4 years, 98 from the Lakers.
Yeah, he messed up his own bag.
Oh, 100%. I don't know what he tried to say that he was worth over 100 mil, and he wasn't. He had a terrible year with LA. Couldn't do anything in the playoffs. His best years were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And now he's coming to Boston, and I don't think he's going to really make an impact for the Celtics.
Schroeder, he's a strange one. It could work. I think it'll work better than Kemba, just because.
No way it's not going to work. It's going to work better than Kemba.
I think it'll work better. I think Kemba's a better player, but I think it'll work better. It'll work better. Because Kemba's not really a pass-first point guard. He's a scoring point guard, right?
Yeah, but so is Schroeder.
He is?
Schroeder was taking shots when he had LeBron and he needed to go to, and he was going 0-for-6. You telling me he's going to work with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum?
He has to. Like, he has to. And I'm really, the reason why I'm saying he has to is because he knows he's playing for a contract this year. So he knows that he has to compensate his role so that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are successful. Because he plays the exact same he played in the Lakers, then it's not going to work out for him at all. Like, I don't think any team will go for him. So that's what I'm saying. I think it'll be a better fit this time around. Because Kemba with the Celtics, he does one, he couldn't stay healthy. And he couldn't keep up. He couldn't do his role effectively. But I think Schroeder will do his role effectively.
I don't know. They need someone who's, as you said, a pass first. If I was a Celtics, I would have put all my money in for Lonzo. He was free agent.
Yeah.
You get Lonzo in Boston. Then that team's scary. Because everyone's going to keep sleeping on Lonzo.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, he slightly improves. He fixed his form. He improved his three-point percentage. He improved his field goal percentage. Averaged, I think 11 and 7 this year, something like that. But if they pick up Lonzo, Celtics are pushing in the East. But I don't think they're gonna do anything. I think if they aren't out in the first, they're out in the second.
Yeah. I think they don't. Yeah, I don't see a strong push from them. I know Tatum is a superstar. He had a really good year last year. Like, he's ready to go to that next level.
He already is. He already is at the next level, 100%.
Yeah. But just the way their team's constructed, I'm not sure they can really do much damage. What do you think about Miami, though? Because they picked up a certain guy.
The new big three in Miami. Out in first round again.
Why say that?
It was a fluke year in Disney.
Mm.
I get that Jimmy had a great stretch in that playoff. But I don't see Hero ain't gonna do anything again. He had one playoff run that made him big. He was quiet last season. Now that they got Kyle and they're getting a a decently healthy Oladipo. I think they're on first, unless they turn up to that Miami 2 years ago in the playoffs, then they're out in the first. I don't think that Lowry, him going to Miami is going to do much to change. I don't know what Pat Riley was thinking to getting Lowry.
They needed a point guard. They needed a point guard.
Yeah, you go out and there's other point guards on the block. You go out, you get it. I'm going to keep saying this, but any team that would have picked up Lonzo, wanted to contend, would have helped.
I agree that Lonzo with Miami would work, but I do think getting someone with the experience like Lowry, what he's been able to do with the Raptors, how he kind of helped build that culture there, that's exactly what Miami needed. I know with the athleticism, the defense, and all of that, Lonzo would have been perfect, but I think the veteran and the leadership of Lowry, I don't think it'll propel them to like win a championship, but it's building the right building blocks they need to get to that level.
I think Father Time Lowry's going to catch up this season. I think him and Jimmy are going to butt heads a lot.
No.
And then Bam's just going to go out there and be Bam. Bam is a top three center in his league. So him going out there and just playing him is going to work. But I don't see any like supporting guys. I know they signed PJ Tucker to help with nothing, but he's like the Patrick Beverley in Miami now. Them signing Duncan Robinson for 5 years, $90 million, overpaid in my opinion. Like a lot overpaid. Harrell needs to go. They need to let him go. And they need to really start getting that depth, because I don't know. I feel like if they just would have picked up other players besides Lowry, you know, Dragic fit in that scheme. Like now he's in Toronto, even though he doesn't want to be in Toronto. I just think, yeah, like Lowry's definitely an upgrade to Dragic. He's definitely a better point guard, but I don't see him and Jimmy getting along very well.
Because Miami's problem was they needed someone to run their offense. I think Jimmy Butler was running their offense, but it didn't really work because he's not a point guard. So he was doing too many roles at once. He was creating everything for everyone else. Now with Lowry there, you know, we've seen what Lowry can do because of what he's done with the Raptors, right? So we know now Lowry's going to control that offense. He's going to get people in the right spots. I feel like Duncan Robinson will get a lot more shots. Tyler Hero, he'll have a great season this year. I can guarantee that on the pod. You guys can come back here and save this that I said Tyler Hero will have a fantastic year this season because of Kyle Lowry.
They can come back here to the pod, the Sports Bible, and they can praise me when I said Tyler Hero is a bum. He's a scrub. He's a bona fide scrub. They can come back here. They can see what I do. They can see what I talk. And they're going to be like, okay, you know what? He was right. He's right about Tyler Hero.
I guarantee.
He's a one-hit wonder. One-hit wonder.
Nah. He's still young. I know the bubble effect is a real thing. It really, like, players that I did not think would pop off, like, popped out. But the fact that he showed he could do that, he can find that level again. You know, barring any injury, he can find that level again. The Lowry pickup is big for Miami. I don't think they'll make, you know, maybe they'll make an Eastern Conference semis, but they're still not better than the top two.
First round. Grab the brooms. grab the dustpans. They're getting swept. If they go against Atlanta, they go against Milwaukee, they go against Brooklyn, they're done. I'd even fight if they go against New York.
Stop it. Nah. Nah. I'm gonna say Eastern Conference semis.
I'll give them one game. Semis.
Semis.
They're out first round.
Nah, depending on where they finish. Like, if they obviously play Brooklyn or, like, you know, the Bucks, then they'll be out, but we'll see. But we do have to talk about our hometown team in the Raptors. Losing Lowry is huge. What is your take on our team and where we're going to finish this season?
Well, your team, my team, is finishing with the chip in their hands at the end of the season. So I don't really care. But the Raptors, I don't know. It's a team definitely in this rebuilding stage. I was shocked they passed up on Jalen Suggs, but Scotty's looking to turn heads, and he already has in his couple preseason games they had before in the summer league. Mm-hmm. Definitely not what Toronto wants. Toronto's a big. They like their tall players who are mobile. Mm-hmm. Pascal, OG, Scotty Barnes now. And young core playoff team, no. Closer playoff team, give him 3 years. Give him 2 years. I feel like Scotty Barnes really develops, and Malachi Flynn, highly underrated. Mm-hmm. He could shoot. Pascal, if he can fix up his game plan and stop with the spin move in the post and layup, he fixes that up. And he works on his shooting. Then the Raptors, I can. But again, it's them and it's centers. They need the Aaron Baines is finally gone.
Thank God. Thank God.
They need a big man. They need a Marc Gasol big man.
Yeah. I agree. I do not think we will make the playoffs. I don't think we have enough from our team. We do have a solid core in Van Vliet, you know, Anunoby. I know he's gonna have a big season this season. Pascal, I'm expecting good things. I know he caught a lot of heat last year, and I know it affected him mentally. The whole spin move thing, it was big. It was bad. It was bad. Some of it was, you know, deserved, but he'll bounce back. He'll bounce back. And Scotty Barnes looks really good. I'm glad we picked him up, actually. You know, he's embracing the Toronto culture more than I expected, because you know how, you know, some of these Americans are. They just, you know, they think about how cold it is here. They think like they don't like the whole taxes thing and all of that. But just embrace it for what it is, you know, enjoy what we have to offer. You know, you're in the NBA. You know what I mean? Enjoy it. Embrace the culture. It's not like we're the worst place to play. I think we're better than, you know, Sacramento and and Utah. So like just take it for what it is, and you know, come here to build, because it's definitely a project that's in the works. We're not where we once were, but good things are coming. But the playoffs, I don't think it's there. I don't think it's there. We don't have enough depth off the bench. You know, we're still a bit young. So once I think Freddie solidifies himself, you know, he's already getting there. But once Freddie solidifies himself, OG becomes that guy, and Pascal becomes the guy, then we'll see. But we have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing about Toronto, is that the weather and where we're located in Canada, it's definitely turned off for big stars, and they get recruits. Because no one likes playing in the cold, apparently, or the Canadian weather. So that's one thing Toronto has. It's not their fault though. Obviously, like, can't control weather,
mm-hmm.
but I think them showing what they did in winning the chip in 2019
mm-hmm.
should have been good enough saying, hey guys, like, listen, you know, like, I get it's cold over here, but we have history now. Like, we shown that we can win as a team. And I think personally, Toronto is top three fan base in the NBA.
Easily.
It's just they bring everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how packed it gets in the Air Canada Center. And it's a feeling that, you know, stars should, you know, they make stars feel welcome is what I'm trying to get at. You know, they show love to Lowry. They show love to DeRozan, Carter, McGrady, Chris Bosh. Like, that's like, I just named like about five Hall of Famers right there. So yeah, I think it's just the weather and where Toronto's located is definitely why stars do not come to Toronto.
Yeah.
Because it sucks.
Yeah, I know. Because we saw exactly what happened when a star came to Toronto, what we could do. You know, we built the foundation up.
Yep.
We gave Kawhi the pieces he needed. And we did all that we could. And we won a chip. And, you know, things fell in place for us. But it's not like Toronto is a sorry franchise anymore. No. You know, like, from what we've built, we can do great things. And I know we'll get back there eventually. But there'll be a few years of mediocrity that we're going to have to suffer through. But we'll get there eventually.
It took him 1 year with one mm-hmm. first star. 1 year, one season. That's all.
One season, man.
And the fan base was a huge contribution to that playoff, to that title run. Everywhere. Unfortunately, the parade.
Yeah.
I think people got too excited, which was unfortunate, but I don't know. That definitely what happened there at the parade definitely did not help with everything. Because I don't know. I feel like Toronto just gets this persona put on it. Like, it's a horrible city and it's the crime stuff, but it's not. Like, it's a city that's it's a nice city where people get along, and you got every sports team there. You got the Blue Jays, you got the Raptors, Argonauts, you got the Toronto FC. Like, it's a city of family. It's not a city of crime.
I agree. That's, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I wanted to ask you for our ending question for the day. If you had a choice to attend any big game, which would you do and why? So this includes, you know, the World Cup final, the Super Bowl, the NBA finals, you know, game 7, which, if you could attend one big game, which would it be and why?
Oh, I'm out to see. For me personally, I'm stuck between game 7 of the NBA finals or the World Cup final. Just because soccer is the world's, you know, it's a beautiful sport. It's the world's beautiful sport. It's the atmosphere that I listen to in the crowds and the chanting and when I watch games on TV or on my computer, and just being there is definitely something you have to go to at least once in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just the presentation and everything. But game 7 on the finals, you put me courtside on a game. And yeah, but for me, I'd probably say World Cup final for me.
Yeah. I'd agree. I'm gonna agree with that one and say the same. Like you said, to me, it's the atmosphere. Like, imagine being at Wembley or, you know, the San Siro. Like, that atmosphere, that type of game, you don't want to miss that. With so many people there, you know, even if your team loses, I still think it's one of the best feelings you can be a part of. And no matter if I'm, like, you know, at the highest seat or I'm super close to the pitch, I know I'm still going to leave with so many memories from that game. So I'd have to say the World Cup final as well.
Yeah, it's – you can't beat soccer fans.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, the crazy, yes, there is dangerous, but the passion. You can hear the passion and the voices and their chants.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that brings people together. So World Cup final, any day of the week.
Any day of the week, yeah.
Any day of the week for me. I think that's – we'll wrap up today's show, episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be taking a break next week as a reading week, but we'll be back on the 18th for episode 3 of the Sports Bible.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Look forward to you guys seeing his feedback again. My Instagram is at JackJackRice. Michael's can plug his in there.
My Instagram is Michael_Oka.
Any tips, feedback, you guys want to pitch in your NBA debates or answer our ending question, feel free to let us know. But we'll catch you guys in the 18th.
Yes, sir. Have a good week, and we'll hear from you soon.